The following sermon is from East Haven Baptist Church in Kalispell, Montana. It's our hope and prayer that through this message you'll have an encounter with Jesus. If you'd like to know more about us, go to easthaven.org.
Well, good morning. I think for some of you it actually is a good morning, so I'm glad that you are here. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Last week, Pastor Matt preached a phenomenal sermon on marriage. And I'm not just saying that because his mom is here, but I'm saying that because it's true. It was a great sermon. If you weren't here last weekend, or if you haven't had a chance to catch up on that, we encourage you to go online and to take a listen to that or watch it on YouTube. Wait until we're done this morning, though. You don't need to leave now. It's okay, guys. It's okay to smile and laugh today. It's all right. We're going to have a little interaction this morning. So Pastor Matt preached on marriage, and we're going to complete that song today. First comes love, then comes marriage, then? There we go. Some of us know this song, The Baby in the Baby Carriage. That's right. We're going to talk about parenting. We're going to talk about being a child or being a parent. And I have to admit that I love this. I'm passionate about this topic. I've been working with young people for almost 2 decades, and I love what we get to do here at East Haven. We are privileged at East Haven to come beside families, and I know Leslie with our nursery and preschool, and Alicia with our children, and Mitch with our high schoolers. I work with the middle schoolers and the young adults, and Pastor Joey gets to oversee all of us. We love coming beside you parents. And at East Haven, we're truly blessed in the fact that many of you have gotten it right. You are family-centric and church-supported. So instead of the opposite way, where it's church-centered and then the family supports the church, you recognize that it is your primary responsibility to disciple and grow your children in the Lord. Do you recognize that? That it is the family's responsibility, and that should come as no surprise to you. In fact, the Barna Research Group, it's a Christian research group, did a study. And according to the Barna Research Group, 85% of parents, Christian parents, church-going parents, recognize that it is their job to grow their children in the Lord. 85%. That's great, right? Yeah, that's great. Here's the shocking part of that statistic. 85% of parents recognize that it is their responsibility, but 87% of Christian church-going parents are willing to let other people do it for them. So 85% of parents recognize that it is their responsibility, but 87% of parents are content to let others do the job. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Now, again, I am blessed that I really have a passion for this subject. I love working with families and parents. I asked to do all 4 services this weekend. That's how passionate I am about that. So you guys better get on board. And I'd love to have more further conversations with you about this very topic. If you want to buy me a cup of coffee, maybe decaf at this point, I would love to talk to you more about that. But it is true. Why don't we do it this way? Why don't you give me an amen if you agree with any of this? Parenting is humbling. Yeah. Parenting is hard. Amen. Parenting is weird. Somebody gave me a hallelujah. I'm getting charismatic. It's so strange. I remember my daughter was born, and she was in the NICU for a couple weeks, and we were traveling back and forth, and so we were exhausted. And my son, he was 2 years old, and he had untied his shoes, and he was sitting in the car, and he was sticking his shoelaces in his ears. And I turned around, and I said, "We don't stick shoelaces in our ears." And then I had to pull over because that was one of the weirdest things. I never thought I'd actually have to say something like that. Parenting is so strange. Give me an amen if you agree with this. Parenting is immensely gratifying. There is something about watching your children grow in the knowledge of the Lord and grow up and become men and women that is immensely gratifying. How about this? Parenting is tremendously terrifying. I heard a lot of dads on that one. You know, I remember when I figured parenting out. So I'm going to give you this. I remember when I had it all figured out. I was 6 years old. I was 6 years old. I remember I came home from first grade, and I had had one of those stressful days, you know, like a first grader has. Yeah, it was awful, and I was stressed out, and I got home, and my mom was watching TV and eating chips. And I said, this parenting thing is so easy. You just get to sit around all day and watch TV and eat chips. I figured it all out. Oh, no? It's more than that? No, I was 13. That's when I figured it out. I was 13 years old. I remember I was having a conversation with my mom, and the conversation was at a volume louder than normal. I was arguing with her, Anna. I was fighting with my mom. And I looked at her and I said, you should have thought about that before you had kids. Do I need to finish that story or do you know how that one ends? Y'all know how that story ends. I figured it out when I had my first son. No, I figured it out with my second, third, fourth child. Actually, I've got no clue. And the more we grow as parents, the more we realize how much we don't even know. And in 6 months, I'm going to have a teenager. I've never had a teenager before in my life. How many of you guys have had teenagers? All right, so help me. No, like, seriously, help. I don't say this lightly, but wisdom is wasted in the grave. So pass on that wisdom to us who need help. I've never had a teenager before, even though I've worked with them for my entire adult life. I don't know what I'm doing. And so maybe you're kind of like me. Maybe you're paralyzed by the overwhelming sense of responsibility and the burden of this priceless gift that God has given you. And most of the time, let's just be honest, we're just trying to keep them alive. Like, we're just trying to keep them alive, and we're just trying to make sure that they're growing, make sure that they're learning, make sure that they're becoming contributing citizens in society. We want to make sure that they eat well, and we want to make sure that they're being socialized, that they're getting their vegetables, and make sure they're active, make sure their clothes fit, because their clothes never fit because they were eating well, because you were doing a good job on that side. And then when it's all said and done, we really want to put our efforts toward eternity. We want to invest in them for eternal purposes, and the scope of the job gives us anxiety and makes us feel inadequate and insecure and insufficient beyond our expectations. Some of you are children in the room tonight, this morning. Some of you are children, right? How many of you are a child of a parent? That would be all of you. Yeah. And you recognize now the overwhelming sense of responsibility and burden that your parents have. And the good news is this, that our good Father has entrusted us with the very task of raising godly men and women. And if he has entrusted us with that task, then he has equipped us for that task. And the primary way that God equips us for the task given to us is through his word. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you're looking in your Bibles, this is the very first verse I taught my children. Right? Many of you taught, my children learned to say, Dada, Mama, Wawa. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke or stir up your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So four verses, and sort of like the marriage sermon last week, you'll recognize that the simplicity of this is that it falls into two categories. You have parents and you have children. So there's simplicity in knowing that there's these two categories, and the emphasis of the four verses of Scripture is on the children, right? You look at it and three out of the four verses is on children. But the emphasis of responsibility is on parents. So the emphasis of the scriptures on children, the emphasis of the responsibility is on parents. So we're going to look at both of these categories, children and parents, and we're going to see that there are three areas of application or responsibility within each of these categories. So let's look at children. Children, the three areas of responsibility or application are to obey, honor, and to receive the blessing. Okay, so it's fairly simple. It's obey, honor, and blessing. So obedience is the first part of this verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And obedience is literally means to do what they say, or even more so, to follow their example. Now, that actually might be more scary on the parents, right? But it's to do what they say and to follow their example. And obedience comes with a level of faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 5 says, obedience that comes from faith. And it is this, it's the faith that comes from the knowledge that your parents have your best interest at heart. And so you do what they say because they're looking out for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so if they're loving you and leading you in the Lord, it is easier for you to obey. It's sort of like submission, wives submitting to your husbands. It's easier for a wife to be living in submission to their husband if their husband is loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, in the same way, if parents are doing their job of leading and loving in the Lord, then it is easier for a child to become obedient to their parents, to do what they say and to follow their example. The second one is honor. Honor your mother and your father. Now you think that you're adding honor onto obey, but this is actually, obedience is added onto honoring. Honoring was the original commandment. It was one of the original Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's obedience added on to honoring, because we can be obedient and not have the right heart about it. We can be begrudgingly obedient. You've done that with masks, maybe. Right? Like you've worn a mask, but your heart is not behind it. Well, we can obey our parents, but not have the right heart about it and not actually honor them. So honoring is giving them the respect that they deserve. Honoring is way harder than obedience because it shows the matter of our sinful hearts. So our sinful hearts need to be transformed so that we can honor our father and mother. And by the way, there's no expiration date on honoring your father and your mother. Right? Like there's no expiration date. If you have adult children, they still have the responsibility to honor their parents. If you are an older adult, a senior saint, you still have the responsibility of honoring your father and your mother. If your father and mother have passed away, you still have a responsibility to bring them honor even though they are deceased. You have a responsibility because of the legacy and the heritage that they have put in your life. And so many of you are even now trying to live up to honoring your father and mother, even if they have passed on from this world. Well, the third area of responsibility under children is blessing. This is a commandment with a promise, and that promise is that you would live long in the land, mostly because your parents won't want to end you. But also, it's not a commandment with a promise, and the promise isn't about the certainty of the length of the years that you will live, but it's about the converse. Being disobedient or dishonoring could make your earthly experience more miserable or shorter. Your parents are the first and most important earthly authority. You know how we know that very early on, your kids go out to obey or honor your parents. Your life could be shorter. We know this very early on. Your kids go outside to play and you say, don't play in the street. Right? And that is a good example of, if your child is obedient and honoring you and you don't play in the street, then you are going to be better off than if you were playing in the street. Car is bigger than you. Now, I have a responsibility as a parent, though. I don't just tell my kids, don't play in the street, and tell them once, and then they're on their own now. They should know better. No, I tell my kids over and over and over again. I tell them, don't play in the street, don't play in the street, don't play in the street. Again, my son is going to be a teenager soon. When he goes outside, I say, hey, don't play in the street. We have a responsibility to continuously repeat ourselves on things that are important. Now, children see that as harping or nagging on a certain issue, but parents still have that responsibility. And young people, students, teenagers, I want you to hear this. At some point in your life, you will come to the realization that your parents were right. Sorry, Caleb, your mom was right. Okay? You're going to come to that realization. So how is it that we honor and obey our parents? We honor our parents as young people, adults, or even children of deceased parents by loving them. Loving them well, loving them properly, and serving them. And can I say that one of the best ways to honor your parents is to forgive them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. And many adults are living in this room right now, living in a place of still not forgiving their parents. Children, recognize this, that parents are sinful and they are messed up and they bring their sin into that relationship and therefore it is broken. And so we have to forgive our parents in order to honor them. Recognize that their brokenness is our brokenness. It is the sinfulness of the world. Let's go to the second category, parents. So we've talked about children. Now we're going to talk about parents. And I realize there's a lot of different life situations represented in the room this morning. You might be a parent of an adult child. Maybe your adult child has strayed from the faith. You might be a parent of a young child. You might be newly married and not yet a parent. You might not even be thinking about being a parent. Regardless of where you are in your life, you have a responsibility here to prepare yourself to be the parent that God has called you to be. So there's three areas of responsibility for the category of parent. That is, first, do not stir up anger or provoke anger. The second would be to bring them up or to nurture them. And the third would be to train and instruct. Let's take a look at each one of those. The first one, do not stir up anger, provoke anger. And Pastor Matt and I were talking about this week. Do not stir up anger. There are so many ways that this can go wrong, and only a really small margin in which this can go right. Right? Like we can stir up anger by being impatient with our children. We can stir up anger by modeling sinful behavior or by using inconsiderate words that are still harmful even years later. We can stir up anger by being overprotective or underprotective. We can stir up anger by using inappropriate levels of discipline. We can stir up anger by setting double standards or by changing standards and moving the goalposts and our children never really understanding what a win is in life. We can overschedule our children or we can compare our children to other children. The list is so endless about the areas in which we can stir up anger and we have to guard ourselves against it. But I think the worst thing, and statistically interviewing children who have left the church, the worst thing that we can do to stir up anger is neglecting time with them. Being intentional about investing in the here and now and also eternity. More importantly, eternity. So our first area of responsibility is to guard ourselves against stirring up anger. The second one is to bring them up or to nurture them. Literally, it means to disciple them. You have to remember that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, meaning he's writing to believing families, and there's an expectation throughout Scripture of the family being the disciple makers and bringing them up and nurturing them. You remember with me all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. They're talking about the commandments of God and how are those commandments supposed to be taught and how are they supposed to be shared. And it was never through the church. It was always through the family. And then Deuteronomy 6 verses 7 and 8, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. There is literally not a time in which you are off of the job of discipling your child. It is from when you wake up to when you go to bed, and you're doing it throughout the day. It says, as you walk by the way. That means as you're going through life, you are nurturing them and discipling them and growing them. And so when you run to the dump, you take your son with you, and you take them to the take the trash out to the dump, and you are discipling them. And there's an opportunity for some intentionality in what you're doing. There's an opportunity for intentionality when you're in the kitchen and cooking with your son or your daughter and you're investing into them. That's literally what we're supposed to do from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. And it is daunting. The commitment is overwhelming. And I get it. You're busy. I know it. I know it. We are busier than we have ever been before. And we almost wear busy as a badge of honor, right? Like somebody comes to you and they say, hey, Pastor John, how are you doing today? And my answer is, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Let me break it to you this way. We are all busier than we should be, and we all think we're more important than we actually are. And I mean it this way, that according to Scripture, the only place that you are indispensable is within your home. They will replace you at work and they will replace you with the fun things, but the place you are indispensable is within your house. And so you are busier than you should be if you're not investing in your child for eternity. And I understand it is so overwhelming. The third one, the third area of responsibility is to instruct and to train or to discipline. And the word used here is admonition. It is all tied through the word. 2 Timothy 3:13 through 17 says that everything we do should be pushed through the mesh of Scripture. So admonition is this, that we do things together. We read the Bible together. We pray together. We sing together. We serve together. It is to grow our children deep. The roots of faith should be deep so that the winds of life do not uproot them. And then it's also to grow them wide and help them realize that a Christ follower is not a part-time commitment. It is to help them realize that God is concerned about each and every aspect of their life and that they shouldn't pigeonhole their faith around the other things. It is so hard. And then discipline. Discipline should be a tool within the parenting toolbox, but it must always be corrective and not punitive. It should never be in anger. It should always be done in a way like God disciplines us as His children. Always for our holiness, always for our righteousness, and it should break our hearts to use discipline. It should hurt us. It reminds me of the time that the child had been disobedient, so the dad had to discipline his son. And he said, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And the son, with tears in his eyes, said, yeah, but not in the same place, dad. Or a good friend of mine, this is a true story, he's a pastor in a mountain church, and he has four daughters, and his wife was at home with one of his daughters who was sick, and his daughters were right here, and they were acting up, and so he gave them that look. Sorry, you're sitting there, so you're going to get the look. And then he gave them the look again, and then he stopped, and he called them out, and he realized, even as a pastor with the church, his primary responsibility was to his daughters. And so he grabbed his daughter, and he said, you're going to have to excuse me, and he started to take her out of the church, and she grabbed on to every single pew along the way, and then as the door was closing, she yelled, y'all pray for me. Discipline must be appropriate. It must be corrective. It must be for the behavior modification and the holiness of the child. And it must be to show that they are deeply and unconditionally loved by us and, most importantly, by Jesus. Throughout Scripture, there are promises given to God's people. These covenantal promises are given not only to the generation in which they were presented, but to the generation and the generation and the generation, to the entire household, to the children and to their children and the children's children and even the children yet unborn. And so I ask you, what is your spiritual heritage? I want you to think about this. I want you to think, were you blessed to inherit your faith from godly parents or grandparents? You think back and you say, my mom, my dad poured into me. I remember my grandpa or my great-grandfather, and that's great. I want us to put it this way. Like, let's just say we're not going to actually do this, so please don't actually do this. But we were to have you come forward in three different categories, right? Like, I want you to figuratively do this in your mind. Over here in this category, you are a first-generation believer. That you came to Christ without your family going to church or being Christians. You came to Christ and you are a first-generation believer. You are on this side. Now, this side right here in the center, we're going to have to move the chairs, and we move the chairs and you come forward. And this is the group of people whose parents brought them to church. But a lot of times they acted as taxi service. They would bring their kids to church. They would drop them off because they had to bring the brother to the sporting event, but they would come back and pick them up. They came to church, but they never really talked about it in the home. Maybe you didn't really see your parents opening their Bible or praying. And maybe the times that they did pray, it was to hurry up and eat. Okay? And then there's this group over here. This group over here is the generation to generation to generation. The people who have parents who invested into them, spoke truth, opened their Bible together, prayed together, worshiped together, served together, made spiritual matters of eternal significance vitally important in their life. Now, which category are you in? Because this category over here, statistically showing right now, would be about 10% of those sitting in these chairs. About 10% of us are first-generation believers. Right here, it's about 80%. And if you were to put yourself in a category, this would be about 80% of those who are attending church would say, my parents, they loved me, and they brought me to church, and I have a faith because of that, but we never really went any deeper than that. And then this 10% over here, this 10% was the ones whose families invested into them for the long term spiritually. And this is the generation to generation. And a lot of those who are serving actively in the church on the worship team or as a pastor or a deacon on the security team, maybe they're Awana volunteers or volunteering in our student ministries. A lot of them come from this area. And we want to see all of our people coming from this area because I know that's your heart's desire. You want your children and your children's children to be raised up and serving and actively growing in the church and in the Lord, because if God shall tarry, the church of 3020 will look back at the early church of 2020, and that generational investment, it'll be designated by this group over here. That's what we want all of our children. That's where we want all of our people. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. I love Psalm 78, 5 through 7, where he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know him, and the children yet unborn, and to rise and tell to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The heart of the matter is that we as parents, we want to instill a faith in our children. We want to instill in them a desire to follow Jesus, but we are also profoundly aware that we are inadequate for that responsibility. We are inadequate for that task apart from God. So what do? We pray. So we pray. Regardless of where you are in your life's journey, you pray for your children. You pray, Lord, help me do my job that is given to me by you and fulfill my calling to raise children and see them come to faith. Pray for your children. We also bring. We bring our children. Remember Matthew chapter 19? Jesus is teaching and the children start to come up and the disciples try to get the kids away from him because they're a distraction. And Jesus says, no, bring them to me, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And so it is our primary responsibility as parents to continuously present our children with opportunities to encounter Christ and to enter into a relationship with him. If you want to take that even one step further, I love, there's a book called Why They Stay. It's by Dr. Steve Parr. He's the executive director for the Baptist Convention in Georgia. And what he did is, you guys might have heard this statistic, that 3 out of 4 children who grow up in the church leave the church when they graduate, and they wander, and some of them will return. You've heard that statistic. Well, Steve Parr decided, I want to figure out why those who stayed in church stayed. What is the reason that those who stayed in church stayed? And so he attempted to identify those who remained in church after they graduated high school. And the number one factor, by far, exponentially greater than any other factor of why people stayed in church, was that they observed their parents worshiping and serving in church. So we bring them not just to worship, but to worship shoulder to shoulder with us, to be a part of life with us. We want our children to follow Jesus. We must first and primarily be passionately pursuing him ourselves. Donald Whitney is one crucial aspect of Christian parenting, but it is not enough for conveying your faith to your children. Are you listening? This is important right here. Listening? Moreover, it is unlikely the exposure to church once or twice a week will impress your children enough with the greatness and glory of God that they will want to pursue him once they leave your home. Parents are to be disciples for the glory of God. We are to live under the lordship of Jesus, but we are also supposed to be disciples in order to disciple our children for the glory of God. And the testimony of Scripture could not be clearer. Parents are to stand in the first position in terms of spiritual leadership of our children. You are ambassadors of Christ, and you are ambassadors of Christ for your child. You are going to have your child for a temporary time. And during that temporary time, our primary responsibility is to help them discover an eternity with Jesus. Joel chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation." The responsibility, the burden of responsibility is on us parents. And so as we close the service, I want to close it with one more illustration. It's the same story in two different ways because of two different beginnings. All right, so the first one, imagine with me, you're a parent and you have a great child and you have a great relationship with your child, and everybody looks at you and says, "You're a great parent." They look at you and they know that you're at every single game and every single sporting event. You love your child. And other parents look at you and say, "I wish I could parent my child like that." You are defined as a parent who loves your child, and they grow up and they leave the house and they get married. And we never really took the time to invest spiritually deep and wide into them. And they leave the church and they kind of wander around in their faith. And then they have a baby. Any grandparents in the room? Being a grandparent is great, isn't it? The apple of your eye, you hold that baby, beautiful grandbaby. And that grandbaby grows up and you spoil them, just as grandparents are the only ones who are allowed to spoil kids, right? And you spoil them, and then Christmas happens. Now, Christmas is great anyways, but Christmas is so much better with kids, right? And you get to go to your grandbaby's house for Christmas. You are so excited to celebrate Christmas with your grandbaby, but your child calls you, that grandbaby's parent calls you and says, "Just so you know, we're not going to Christmas Eve services. We're not doing the whole like Jesus thing and stuff, so I just want you to be prepared for that. I know that's what you do and what we used to do, but that's not really what we do." And so you go to Christmas and they open presents and it's a joyful experience. And that's it. Now let's rewind. Let's do the same story again, but this time you intentionally invest into your child spiritually. You recognize that you are a good parent. In fact, other parents look at you and say, I wish I could parent my child like that parent parents their child. And you are tired and you are exhausted because you were working so hard to provide for your child what you need to do. And yet you still take the time for your child to invest spiritually. And you feel inadequate for the job, but you continue to pray for your child and you continue to pray for wisdom to parent your child in a godly way. And your child comes to faith. And they're a great athlete, but at one summer they decide not to go to sports camp, but they go on the mission trip instead. And your child grows up and they leave the house and they get married, and their wedding is a beautiful ceremony in which two become one. And you see the image of God being glorified better in the union of those two than they could ever be by themselves. And they have a grandbaby. Grandbabies are great, aren't they? The apple of your eye that you get to hold in your arms, and you're holding that grandbaby, and you get to spoil that grandbaby, just like grandparents are the only ones allowed to spoil that baby. And then a few years pass, and you get to go to their house for Christmas, because Christmas is great, but it's even better with kids, right? And so you show up at the house, and there's presents around the tree, and you're sitting in the chair, and you're drinking your cider, watching your grandbaby, and your grandbaby crawls up in your lap. And says, Grandma, Grandpa, will you read the Christmas story to me? And you read the Christmas story, and your child, their mom or dad, says, Grandma, Grandpa, will you pray? And you start to pray, and you look down, because you peek when you pray. And your little grandbaby's hands are clasped, and their eyes are closed. And one generation told the next generation, told the next generation. And I'll ask you this. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the task that you have given us to the responsibility of discipling our children. And we recognize, God, that there are many different situations and circumstances represented in this room. And so, Father, we want to take time to pray for our kids. God, we pray for adult children who have wandered and strayed away from their faith. God, we pray that they would return to you. We lift them up and turn them over to you. God, we pray for our children who are young and growing up in the church and growing up in our homes, and we just pray for strength and wisdom and patience to grow them up in the training and instruction of your word. Father God, we thank you that you equip us and you encourage us to do just that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in more info, find us on the web at easthaven.org.